Hey guys, welcome to another week of the No Fly List, where we talk to comedians, artists, and other interesting people of color. I'm Ithier.
And I'm Layla.
And today we had our first food writer, and she also went to culinary school.
So does that mean she's a chef, or she's chef adjacent for sure?
I think she is chef adjacent, or
She's like trained, right?
She's trained from the CIA.
Which is very important.
Yeah. So Korsha Wilson was our guest today, and we talked about culture and food appropriation, which is huge.
And really interesting.
Hashtag hummus.
Yeah. Everyone knows we have a lot to say about that.
Yes. And also, I thought it was really funny when she was telling us about how she's broken up with two guys over food.
Over food.
Guys, food is like...
We won't say how, though.
Yeah, we won't say how, but food is very important in people's lives. And listening to Korsha's story about how she got started in food writing was also really interesting. And how you guys have something in common that you both... decided you want to do this at age 10 or
it's
your
true.
Career.
I've known forever.
You've known forever, which most people do not. But that was really fun talking to Korsha, and I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Welcome, Korsha.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
We're excited to have you.
Yes. Our first, I think, food guest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I think so,
we talk about food a lot, so we are super excited to have you and talk about the different issues surrounding food besides our hummus issue, which we talked about in great lengths.
We talk about it.
I just put out some hummus for us.
But it's homemade.
It's homemade. It is not Sabra or some coconut hummus or God knows what.
Or the CBD.
Or CBD. Oh God, I need to put
CBD.
There's CBD hummus now.
Somebody sent that to us. A fan sent that to us. And it was...
Have you tried it?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No.
I think those two things need to be completely separate.
Yeah.
I just like, why would you want to combine them? I guess I don't really get, like, when I think of CBD, I think of like, if I have a pain or like a stress, I want to have it.
Yeah.
So I would put it maybe on like a Band-Aid. Or like, I don't know. Like
a Band-Aid, a cocktail.
Or
a drink.
I saw there's a tea place now with all CBD
and
coffee
sense.
And tea place.
Like tea for
it's
sure.
It's soothing.
But like... I don't know.
But hummus, you're like, I'm so stressed. I need CBD in my hummus. That seems like
and
protein and fiber. I don't know.
Yeah.
But do we have a no fly list person this
yes,
week?
We do. It's inspired by you, Ithier. So our no fly list is a list of people that are actually a threat to America. And
as we deem.
Basically as I deem. And this week I'm choosing Fuck Jerry,
aka
I agree with that one.
Elliot
Tabelli.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let me just say, I unfollowed that account like years ago. The moment I started noticing that him and Beige Cardigan and one more were posting like the exact same thing, I was like, this is a joke. I don't need like the same dumb meme like five times
Beige
on my Instagram
Cardigan
feed.
That's a real
I think that's his wife.
Is it his wife?
I
well
think so.
Either way,
I think or something like that.
There are so many like meme couples. Like, did you ever follow Girl with No Job?
No, I've heard of it.
Okay, so that was another one. And her boyfriend also started a boy with no job. And they just post the same things.
What's
and
the
then
point
get,
in having two?
Because then they just have two accounts that have, like, millions of followers and lots of engagement. So they get, like, twice the revenue.
And they go to restaurants and have free meals.
Exactly.
Of course. So messed up, you guys. So, like, anyone can be, like, Instagram famous, I guess. That's a thing. Yeah. It's crazy. I agree. And I've seen a lot of comedians now, like high up comedians have been posting about it, and they're like pissed. And so a lot of people have been unfollowing them, and I unfollowed them. I saw that they've lost like hundreds of thousands of followers.
But I just checked, and he's still at like 14 million.
But they were at 14.3
really,
like the other day.
So it's working.
It's working, guys. Keep working. Unfollowing.
Yeah. So
I agree. With
it's
that
a principle
pick.
Of yeah. I agree with
pretty
it.
Bad.
It's not cool to steal people's content.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I did watch the Fyre Festival documentary, the one on Netflix, I think, and I didn't realize that they had any involvement.
I didn't either. Like,
so when I learned that, I was like, oh my god, you're literally the devil.
Yeah. Like, I watched both documentaries. Have you seen it?
I only saw the Netflix one.
I saw the Hulu one too. Hulu one. I'm like,
which
I need
one was
more.
Better?
I think I enjoyed the Netflix one more.
Really?
But
that's what people keep saying.
The Hulu one had different stuff going on, and I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
But I think the Netflix one gave a better like overview of what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But
for sure.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
Hear that? Watch you be at 13.9 million followers.
I hope all of our followers who still follow him unfollow
him. But they changed their policy now, trying to like give people credit. But after what? After they made their like empire stealing content. Now they're like, oh, we'll start giving credit for you guys.
The fat Jewish also had the same thing. And I remember he started his policy of like trying to give credit like maybe 2 years ago, but it's still like the thing that gets me is that they build like it just it doesn't affect them, you know what I mean? Like they still
it doesn't
like fine 14.3 million versus 14 million, but still like that's still in the like you I know can still get every
they're still making
you want
shit tons of money
by doing basically Jewish, nothing it,
fuck him forever.
Yeah, seriously,
he like in the food world too has really been, like, a dick.
Tell me more.
So there's this whole like dust up with New York Food and Wine Festival, where he was supposed to do something with like Chrissy Teigen and Kenji Lopez Alt, and like once they found out that he was going to be a part of it, like they all backed out because he was like reposting people's recipes or something without like credit. Same sort of deal, like it's not your content.
Yeah,
don't do that, or at least have the decency to be like, you know, this came from so and so. But of course, he wasn't doing that. He was getting like Grubhub endorsements and like on the side of buses and stuff. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, he hosted this like ramen event.
I saw him on an episode of on Eddie Wong's show.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I was like, why is he like, in really this? I was so confused why he was in
and
it.
And he has that wine, the white girl rosé.
Yeah. Also, fuck him for that. Mm-hmm. Like, I like rosé a lot. Don't be putting white girl on it. It belongs to everybody.
Like, that's the thing. It's just such like
rosé for
like,
all.
Bottom of the barrel content and like gimmicks that I'm just like, listen, we could be better. Just be better. You don't have to do that. But whatever.
But that, I know. It's sad that also there's a following for this
stuff. I know.
Stuff.
Right. Exactly. That's the problem.
People need to be better and not follow that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there's like the equivalent of those kind of accounts in the food space.
Mm. There have been some actually like kind of funny ones that have happened. Like, do you remember Sean Kingston?
Yes.
Singer,
yeah.
His mom started to like try to be a food blogger, which is like cute.
Yeah,
but then she was like taking people's pictures off of Instagram and saying that she made it, and like trying to get catering business off of it. It's like it was wild stuff. It was pretty funny though.
Did she gain a following doing it?
No.
Oh, okay.
People called her out pretty quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But these people who are like making millions of followers and getting like thousands of dollars for a post
exactly
a sponsored post, that's crazy
it
for other
crazy.
People's content.
And I've heard BuzzFeed is it Tasty, the recipe one, that they steal a lot of their recipes and have a lot of issues with like actual cooks and chefs like being like, what the heck, you stole my recipe, and that a lot of them also don't taste good at all. They just make them for the visuals.
They look cool. I mean, but it's also like, who's gonna check them?
Exactly.
They have millions of dollars.
Like, for sure, because I watch those sometimes, and I don't even like cooking, and I don't care about food at all. And I watch them, and I'm mesmerized, and then I'm like, do I care if it tastes good? Like, theoretically, yes, but in practice, no, I don't, because I'm never, ever gonna check, and I'm never gonna try to make them.
Right.
Like, ugh.
Well, as a food writer, like, what do you look for, like, when you're writing about something or, like, what do you typically write about? And,
so, I typically, like, don't do recipe stuff. Mm-hmm. I do more, like, culture or people-focused stuff, because that's what draws me to food in the first place is, like, you know, the history behind it, the, like, actual act of eating and dining with people. Like, it's so communal and social and... that's what I focus on more, like not really the recipe stuff. But
so Athir mentioned that you talk a lot about like food appropriation and things like that. Can you explain what that is?
So basically it's actually like in line with the stuff we were just talking about, where it's basically someone is like, oh, I make really good hummus and they didn't grow up eating it. They know nothing really about the culture behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're allowed to, like, open I was about to say hummuseria. I don't know what you would. I don't know what you would call it.
What if we call it?
I mean, a hummus parlor. That's funny. You know, just like
hummus shop. It's usually falafel shop.
Yeah, it's usually falafel. Yeah, but totally.
Yeah, and then like you know, all of a sudden they're the expert, right. Or you know, and it's on media too. Like we go to that person because they probably have a PR team, and it's easy to get in touch with them. Yeah. And they're all over the place for this thing, and it's like, okay, wait a minute, there's a whole culture and history behind it that also needs to be addressed and included and part of the story as well, that kind of gets like brushed aside for it to be like this hot new thing, which isn't fair.
It's like a new, especially if it's like a new like hipster thing, and then it's like, who cares what the culture was, like nobody's asking about it.
Ramen is a perfect example. Like Bon Appetit got in trouble a couple years ago because they did a video of like, you're eating your... No, it was pho. They were like, you're eating your pho wrong. And it was a white chef going through the rules of pho because he had a pho restaurant and it was like really good. And people were like, no.
You're not the thorny. Right. Pho. Yeah.
Like, no, don't do it. Is it
the owner of Ivan Ramen? He's he's a white Jewish guy.
Is his name Ivan?
His name is Ivan.
How did you know?
Makes sense.
Didn't he train though? Like, yeah. What do you think about someone who... I think he trained for years and years and like in Japan.
He moved to Japan.
And like, trained... But do you think, like, would that be, like, the type of person that actually, like, honors the culture and it,
I think
versus
so.
Someone appropriating it?
I think there's a difference. So, him, he's also, like, he'll occasionally do the food media thing, but he's not, like, out here, like, listen, this is my dish, and, like, I make it like this. He also, like, immersed himself into the history and culture of the dish to get, like, more than just the sum of like more than just noodles and broth and all that, he saw like the entire like culture of ramen and importance of it like in Japanese culture. That's different than the girls that were in Portland, Oregon, who they wanted to open this like burrito shop, so they went to Mexico and they did this whole interview about how they went to Mexico and like their food is authentic because they met up with abuelas and and learned their recipes and then came back and opened up a shop for like, you know, $15 burritos.
Oh, $15?
Yeah, exactly.
You could feed an entire family in Mexico.
Right.
At the very least.
What the heck?
Right. And so people were upset and they shut down their shop and like that's kind of like case study of appropriation.
They shut down their shop because the backlash was that bad.
That's surprising to me. That doesn't happen.
I'm really surprised. I feel like that's so rare.
Yeah, but that's like the example of appropriation I always give is like, okay, you know, these two young white women were able to get the capital to open up their own spot, and they're selling $15 burritos. Meanwhile, the abuelas that they took the recipes from, are they getting any of this money? Any this capital to do what they want? No,
that's crazy. So, well, what got you into food to begin with? Like, do you have a cultural connection to food, and like, how did that?
I do. I'm weird in that I decided to be a food writer at 10.
What?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I decided to do my job at 10 too. And people always ask me, like, you know, when did you decide you wanted to be a journalist? And I'm like, literally, I was 10 years old.
Wow.
And you know what? You know what it's done to me though, to my like ego. Is that, like, now when I meet other people my age who want to do the same thing as me, I'm like, I was here first.
I was here first.
Like, legit get out of my way because you decided this, like, after college. And I decided when I was legit prepubescent. But that's so funny. Why did you – how?
So it was this really, like, weird moment of my mom and I would do this, like, annual Sunday trip to Borders bookstore. And if you remember that, and I was walking through the magazine aisle, and I saw a Savoir magazine, and I'd never seen like any sort of food writing in my life before.
Was this in New York? Did you grow up?
This was in Maryland.
In Maryland,
yeah. Okay. So I grew up in Maryland, in Waldorf, south of DC, and it just like blew my mind open. I was like, "What are all these pictures of like different foods and like different people all over the world? Like, what is this? I want to do this." And so I showed it to my mom, and she was like, I don't know what this is, but like, okay. So I went to culinary arts vocational classes at first in high school. Oh. So I did like half the day culinary arts classes and then like English and math and
that is so all that. Cool.
And then culinary school and then journalism school.
Oh, my God.
And then I ran out of money for journalism school. So I started working in restaurants and I loved it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, it's been like quite a journey.
That's awesome. I feel like there are so few food writers that actually went through that path that you just described. Like, the ones that I know of are just, like, I really liked food, so I
started writing about it.
Or not even I started writing about it, but, like, my magazine, like, put me on this beat. Yeah. You know, stuff like
that. A lot of people fall into it.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and, like, I thought, you know, at 12, when I decided this would be, like, my plan of how to do this, I was like, oh, obviously food writers all go to culinary school, right? Like, they all have to have a degree in food, too.
It's not.
And turns out you don't even need a degree in journalism.
Yeah,
exactly. You just need to write. So
You just need a popular Instagram account.
Yeah. Well, I don't have that.
That's all you need is memes.
I actually, speaking of popular Instagram accounts related to food, I was in the doctor's office the other day watching the Today Show. And they were like, our production assistant, like, I don't know, Sammy is has a popular food Instagram. So she's going to do a segment on the Today Show making a recipe, like, with Savannah, whatever her name is.
Oh, my
God. Like, the other, and I was like,
why?
Production assistant? Popular Instagram? Segment on the Today Show? What?
What's happening?
Like, how did it's like, honestly, I'm happy when somebody gets success, especially like whatever, woman of color. I'm like, good for you. You're helping us all. I love you. But also I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But like,
you literally
you can also find someone qualified.
Yeah, you exactly. just woke up
like,
yesterday.
Portia can be on the Today Show.
This girl is like fresh out of college. And honestly, I'm sure somebody will find her and say she's amazing. And I'm sure she's amazing. Like, just disclaimer, I am sure she's amazing.
But she didn't go through the steps.
But she did
or
no.
work.
Like,
or
no.
I need to know more. Come on the show, whatever your name is, and tell us how you fell into this ridiculously amazing
role. But that's the thing
role.
Is, like, I feel like people so often think that, like, eyes on something means quality. And it's that's not necessarily
exactly,
true.
Exactly.
Let's take a step back and, like, actually think about this. Mm-hmm. Like,
let's look at who we elected.
Like, who won? Hello.
How does popular, well, he didn't even win the popular vote.
Right.
You can't even say that. But it does come down to, it's a popular contest in the sense of who has more money and who has more media exposure and the money to hire, like, PR.
Even without the money, like, with Instagram fame, like, you just have to have the money if you want to do makeup to buy really good makeup and take really, always to take really good pictures and, like, to get the, to create that content that's based on, like, things like food or, like, I don't know, other random things. Like, first you have to have enough to make some of the stuff, you know? And that's the part where I'm just, like, I don't know, like, I feel like cooking can be expensive. So
absolutely.
When I see people's, like, perfectly curated, like, cooking Instagrams, I'm like, one, how do you have the time to be cooking? Like,
that's all they do.
Yeah.
That's their job.
But, like, if it's not their job, you know what I mean?
Like, they make,
Yeah, exactly. But, like, when you, just to get your foot in the door, I'm always so curious how people do it. But I don't know.
That game is, so I know a couple of people that do the, like, social media, like, I post recipes, I do all that. That is a hustle and a grind that I just, the pictures look nice, but I'm not going to be doing it.
Do you, like, cook and put your own recipes on Instagram?
Mm-mm.
Or? Okay.
I mean, I cook, like, I cook all the time, but, like, I don't
not
post.
Cook for Instagram.
Right. I don't. I used to, like, post way more pictures of, like, what I was having for dinner. Mm. But even that got boring, you know? So I don't really do that.
Yeah. It's food Instagram is such an interesting world, like, in itself.
I follow a bunch of, like, ramen accounts. I'm a nutritionist.
Yeah, so you also work in food, right? So it's like, it kind of makes sense. And
only when I talk about it in theory, but only telling people what not to eat.
You work in the theory
in
of
the
food.
In theory. Theory.
But no, it's just really interesting.
I feel like lately I've noticed that everything kind of on Instagram, like, food accounts, it has, like, cheese melting down the side or, like, the burger that's outside for some reason. Like someone's holding it up and there's like no plate or like a face even that's going to eat it. Yeah. It's like, it's this weird detachment of like people from the actual food. Mm-hmm. It's just like the food is like this like sexual object.
Exactly. Yeah. It is. There is some weird like visceral thing to it. Have you seen, have you guys seen the one of the donut?
Oh.
No. The, it's like hard on the outside. It's like a creme brulee donut, so it's hard on the outside. And there are so many videos of like girls with really nice nails.
That's
like
the other thing.
What is that? Like sexualizing the donut. I thought you were talking about, there's a cake one or like a, I forget what it is, or gelato or something. And then it's like the way that they're like taking the spoon. It was like this, I think it was like an, maybe it was like a chocolate mousse is what I'm thinking of. And the way that they were moving the spoon and you could see it, it looked so sexualized and it was all fluffy. And like, I was like, I feel really dirty watching this somehow.
Yeah, it's weird.
How is food sexualized?
I don't know.
Like, how did that, like, even come about?
I mean, I think we have sexualized the role of cooking a lot in terms of, like, professional chefs and stuff. And I think we do it to women even more than we do it to men. And I think just the immediacy of Instagram, perhaps, is maybe what has kind of, like, siloed food pictures into just straight up food pornography. It's like what will get the most clicks,
and that that's such a popular hashtag, like food porn, everything right food porn, that's which is like crazy.
It's
like,
kind of true.
Yeah.
Yeah, like watching the like cheese drip off of a slice of pizza or like even like the absurd pictures of like the biggest pizza you've ever seen or like a mountain of buffalo wings or it's even like some fruit shots can be kind of like sexual. I think it's just attractive.
There's an account that's specifically just, it's a photographer who just takes pictures of fruit that look like vaginas. Like, I swear, it's like a papaya, like a cross section of papaya, a tangerine, like every fruit that you can think of, like she's done it to.
Is there a food dick account?
I'm sure.
There's gotta be. There are a lot of phallic things in nature.
Sure there is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just so interesting. So you, but you try to focus more on like the human side of food. So how do you go about finding those stories?
So I usually try to highlight people that I think are doing really cool stuff and like aren't getting talked about. So usually it's by talking to other people and like who are they working with, who are they excited about, going out to eat and not at the same places that like the critics are going to. Because that happens in New York a lot where like everyone will go to the same spot because it's hot right now. And then everybody's talking about the same spot and looking at the same sort of thing. And there's this whole other part of the like ecosystem in this city of food that just gets ignored. So I try to always look to what's not being talked about.
Can you give examples? Anything recent that you
recent,
is it more like small like mom and pop shops that like sometimes don't get recognized, or maybe they don't have like the money to again to put towards like media or like
sometimes so I wrote a story for Savour that was about this place in Hell's Kitchen. It's a Haitian restaurant, the last Haitian restaurant left in the neighborhood. It used to be like a thriving Haitian like community there.
I didn't even realize that.
Wow. It's called Le Soleil and the food is so good.
Really?
It's like Haitian grandmas and aunties in the kitchen, like frying fish and rice and beans and like pickled vegetables that are super spicy and really, really good. So I wrote a story about lunchtime there and like how you see kind of like people drive from New Jersey or Brooklyn or lower Manhattan and just kind of like convene there and talk about what's going on. And it's everybody speaking French. Like it's like
it's like
this,
authentic.
Yeah, it's like this like refuge for Haitian people in the city to like still come and like hang out. So that was a story I wrote.
That's cool. So it's a lot of like Haitian people that actually go there. It's not just okay, I'm glad here it's not just a bunch of like white people.
Right.
Like,
no. No, if a white person walks in there, they like look
at they're it. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. They like everybody turns, like the record stops.
Yeah.
You know, they're still welcome to eat and dine, but
it's
like,
not common.
Right, exactly.
I love that that's how I feel like whenever we go to like Queens and I go to like an Arabic restaurant, just to feel like, oh, you're back amongst like people from your own culture and you all get it. And I don't have to pronounce it hummus when I go in there or whatever.
And they know what you mean.
And they know what I mean. So it is nice to be around other people like eating the same thing and enjoying it in the way that you also enjoyed it kind of growing up. And that feeling of like you said, like your grandmother's cooking, or like thinking back to that, that it helps people feel connected.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the act of like dining and like taking food in together with someone mm-hmm. is such a like sacred act. It's like this beautiful sort of ritual that we all have as humans, like all over the world, every single day, multiple times a day, we're all doing it. So
it's true. Yeah. Except I eat so many meals alone.
That's the other thing. That's what New York does to you. Or living in the city and being a busy professional. Like, that's mm-hmm. what I feel the same way. And I'm like, this is not how it's
And
meant.
I'm definitely, I've become the type of person. I mean, I don't know if I was always like this, but I'm now the type of person that sees eating as a chore. Mm-hmm. And I really don't look forward to it. I'm just like, oh,
I gotta feed myself.
Yeah, exactly.
The busier you get, the more that happens, I notice. Because I am like a food person. Mm-hmm. And lately, I'm just like, I think it's the thought of like having to like cook or having to find something right. and it's like annoying. It's like I don't have time to do this, whereas like meals in different countries take 2 hours, right? Like people actually sit and talk and enjoy, and that definitely doesn't happen anymore.
I think that's the thing too, is that whatever we eat and how we eat it is like a function of our culture, our society, and where we are in those two things, but also like the time in which you're alive. So 20 years ago, maybe that's a little different. You know, 20 years before that, dining is different so on and so forth. But like it, every time we sit down to eat anything, it is speaking to exactly where you are in the world and what time you're alive. So I think it's like a fascinating way to look at the rest of the world.
When you were 10 years old, is this how you thought about
No.
No. Or did you have to work to get to this point?
I had to wait, but it was like pretty pictures and like vibrant like colors. And I was like, oh, that looks awesome.
Was cooking a big part of like growing up in your household?
It was, but not in like any sort of luxurious way. So my mom had me when she was 18. And it was just us, and I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, we were, like, very poor. My favorite thing that she would make was, like, tuna balls. She would take a can of tuna and add mayo to it and then deep fry them.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Did she make that up? I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh,
she just, like, that's what she had. Yeah.
Innovative. Yeah.
Yeah, and I loved it, and I would ask for it all the time, and she'd be like, yeah, sure. Like, it costs, like, nothing to make these. Absolutely. So it was that. It was beanies and weenies was also my favorite. But yeah, I just liked to eat when I was little.
Is your mom like supportive of your career? Is it I heard when you said the first time you saw the magazine, is it Savor or Savor?
I always thought it was Savor. That's how I've been saying
Savor. And then now you've written for them. That must feel super surreal.
Yeah, I haven't. So I just filed a print piece for them. The only pieces I've written for them have been online. So I'm actually gonna have like two stories in one of the issues in a couple of months, which is like a weird thing for me. I'm trying not
That's
to think
so
about
cool. If only you could go back to Borders to buy it, because now you won't be able to.
But sure can't.
But you can go to Barnes and Noble.
It's true.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's really cool. So do you enjoy more of like the food writing aspect or the cooking part?
Definitely the food writing.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I like cooking. I can do it pretty well because I went to school and, like, I cook a bunch at home. But I think I if I could, like, hire someone to cook for me and, like, just write, that sounds like a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, I would cook still probably because I like to do it, but I would do it maybe once or twice a week, like a big something.
Yeah. What do you like to cook?
Ooh, lately I've been liking braises or like big cuts of meat in the oven, just like roasted for a long time, and then like you can buy like a pork butt.
Layla's face is like,
I'm like, this is a thing somebody can do at home.
You could put like a whole duck in your oven, like if you don't have a big roasting pan.
Where do you even buy a duck?
You can buy them at a butcher shop.
Oh, yeah.
That brings me out to buy a full, like, anything. I think I'm just like, oh, I don't know.
I just bought, which if there, maybe you'll be happy about this, but I didn't buy it, but my friend sent me that book, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Yes! I just watched it.
It's so good. It's such a good show.
I really liked the show. It was good.
The reason I wanted that cookbook specifically is because, one, I don't care for cooking, so I wanted a book that wouldn't just give me recipes but would explain flavors to me.
She's really good.
Yeah, so I bought it and I'm really excited, and I just, because I just moved, I like bought all the different utensils and stuff for cooking, because she has like a list of what you need for your pantry.
That's awesome.
And what you, I know, and I'm like going through it and I'm like, maybe this will make me want to cook. So far, not so much, but now that I know I can buy a whole duck.
Yeah, you can buy a whole duck and a whole leg of lamb.
Have you watched the show?
I watched like one episode, but I haven't watched the whole thing.
I just finished watching, because I was home in Alabama and I was like, what do I watch with my family? My I watched the episode. Yeah, that was good. They're all good.
They're all pretty good. Yeah. Samin is like one of the sweetest people.
Really?
She's so cool.
She's exactly like the show.
She seems like that. You can just tell with her mannerisms. Samin, if you're listening, come on the podcast.
Yeah.
Did you have any like people that you like idolized growing up in like the food space?
Oh, idolized
or inspired by? Maybe I don't have to make it so. Heroes, food heroes. I remember when I was younger, I watched tons of Food Network because when I was like into nutrition, I was like, I love food and all this. And my mom is a really great cook, and my parents used to have a restaurant in Alabama, so I was definitely interested in food, but I never. I was more interested in how a food affects our body, and like, hence why I studied nutrition. But I also just like love to eat food. But I just remember like I knew all these chefs' names and stuff, and now I just like haven't been watching that much. But I don't know if there was someone that you like were drawn to as like their style or
drawn to. Not really. I remember reading Anthony Bourdain's book, Kitchen Confidential, and like really liking his voice.
Yeah,
like just I think. He did a really good job of like his name didn't have to be on the page and you could know you were reading something that he wrote.
That's awesome.
I mean, I didn't necessarily like the stories in the book. They were a little like, okay.
Do you feel like he also did it in a way where he like respected people's cultures and didn't, like, I felt like he did give homage like to, did we talk about this on the podcast? Homage?
Don't know.
Is it homage?
I guess it's homage, technically.
Oh, yeah.
Is it? I usually say homage, but now I feel self-conscious. Anyway.
No, I feel I'm always mispronouncing stuff, so it's not really a surprise, but I feel like
he did pay homage.
Respect. Yes, respect. He paid respect to people and their culture, even though he went around the world like and trying different cuisines and stuff. And I don't know. Or maybe I'm like missing out on something or seeing something.
No, I agree. But I felt like that. I feel like he was genuinely curious about everybody.
Yeah.
And he wasn't like there to, like some travel hosts, I won't name names.
This is that kind of podcast.
They go to like another place and they're just like, well, I'm here, I'm me, and like, you know. Yeah. Everybody else has to adjust, and it's like, who
are
why
you?
Why would you travel somewhere and act like that?
Yeah,
like you are in someone else's country. Like, be respectful. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, you're there to like see things, but like and experience different things. But like, don't insert yourself.
It's not your place
that way. Yeah,
like, I really like. I feel very strongly about people who insert themselves into the stories they do, and I don't. I really don't agree with it. And the reason that I don't agree with it is not because those people aren't personable or talented or whatever, but it's because when you say like, okay, I'm going to find out what it's like. I always use this example because I feel like it's really clear, but like, I'm going to see what it's like to live on food stamps for a week. It's like, you don't have to. There are people that live on food stamps. Just talk to them and like, give that person a voice.
How about that?
Instead of just like being like, I wonder how it'll affect me, you know? So I'm really, and
I feel like that's the whole basis of Ramadan, though.
What do you mean? Oh, no,
that's different, though. It's a spiritual.
That's totally different because that's the feeling of being hungry and then you fucking go ham afterwards.
I know.
So it's totally
different. I thought like
Ramadan.
Well, I was going to say, too, the only time, because I've never been a foodie, but there was like one summer where I was fasting and I became obsessed with food because I wasn't eating it during the day.
Yeah.
So I would watch, and it was right when it was like during the longest part of the year. So like it wasn't like,
yeah, like the summer.
Yeah, exactly. It was like until like 9 p.m. And I was really I was like in Boston. So even sunset was like even later. And I was like dying. Truly, I was like, this is awful. So I would just get home from work and watch hours and hours of like food shows.
I would do that too. And I'm just
and it was
like,
but it's torture. Wow. It is torture worse. Yeah. And then I became very like interested in like food and how it works. But then the moment Ramadan was over and I could eat normally again, I was like,
It is different. It is like a cleansing, like spiritual thing. And it's also, you are really suffering. Mm-hmm. I mean, but obviously like when you're like binging at night, where a lot of people do it, or do that, which you're not supposed to do, actually. You're supposed to have like my dad kind of does it the right way. He like have a date and then some soup or like something like you're not supposed to just like shut, like
gorge yourself.
You're not supposed to gorge. You go from fasting to gluttony. Like that's not how it's supposed to be done. But that was just funny. You were like,
that's a good point.
That's how not to, there's a way to do it to really sympathize.
But I
and
do
empathize.
Appreciate the fact that at least people, like, because I'm obviously not very spiritual or religious, but people who are, when I ask them about it or when we talk about it, they don't tell me, oh, I just want to see what it's like to feel poor. Yeah, they're like, this brings me closer to God some way. And I appreciate that much more than I appreciate somebody on YouTube being like, ooh, food stamps are crazy. Like, this is really hard. Food stamps are
crazy. That's quite a sentence.
Yeah. Sorry being poor for a week. Yeah. It's like, you can
exactly.
do it.
Yeah, try it for like a lifetime.
I know.
Well, that made me think of like a Goop when they did something like that.
Oh my God, of course they did. Ugh, Goop.
Yeah, that's what I thought of.
What did they do?
They did like, here's what I ate when I lived on the poverty line for a week.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's an internet trope. So going back to that like social media culture that we live in now, for some reason, this type of like, I'm going to try this is like really, really like, it's everywhere. It's prolific.
Yeah.
But when it crosses the line and like, I'm going to try doing something like living like somebody who can't live any other way. Right. It's kind of like, oh, that's not.
Yeah.
You don't need to go there, you know?
Yeah. Maybe like give those people a platform or like you said, like talk to people who are actually going through stuff.
Exactly.
Like
cause it's like, I mean, there are so many BuzzFeed articles. Like I didn't shampoo my hair for a week and this is what happened.
Yeah.
So,
talk to me guys.
It's like putting that type of story with like, I also tried out being poor is like, I find so distasteful.
It's ridiculous.
Anyway.
Yep. We're going to shift gears a little bit for a little segment, a little love segment called 50 Shades of Brown.
Okay.
Are you ready to give some love advice?
Oh wow. I'll do my best.
Okay.
So we have our fans send in questions. Usually they're multicultural dating questions. We've actually had a few that were about food, which is funny. We had one in the past where the person writing in was like, my boyfriend was like, I think it was Filipino or some other culture, and I ate a lot of weird food at his house to look good in front of his parents, and then immediately got diarrhea.
Do you remember that? That was kind of funny. I hope we helped that person.
What? Did they give you an update?
We should ask for one.
People like, send us your updates. We want to hear. Maybe we just ruined everyone's life with our advice and they just like never listen anymore.
Like, oh, we're just speaking to you again.
So this one, okay, here we go. Dear No Flight List, I'm a brown girl approaching my 30s and still haven't found someone special. My parents keep telling me about potential suitors that want to ask for my hand the old school way. At this point, I'm thinking of giving in. Should I meet some of these dudes through my parents or wait for fate to step in? Single in San Francisco.
Ooh.
In San Francisco? I feel like there's a... Oh. Well.
There's a big, like, you could say the same for New York.
Yeah.
It's very diverse and multicultural, but when it comes to meeting people, it can be really hard. It can be harder in the big city.
True.
I think. But should you meet people? I mean, I remember when I was single, my mom would be like, so, like, casually trying to be like, so this, like, person wants to, like, get to know you. Like, so-and-so has a son. And just, like, the fact that they would, like, go through my parents, I was like, no! Yeah. But then I'm like, what if they actually were? I think we talked about this before. Yeah. Like, what if they were actually good person.
Yeah, that's how I felt about that whole sequence in The Big Sick. Like some of the girl, like there's that one girl
who was
actually really cool and like into magic, or I don't remember what it was, but I was just like, how dare you judge her for for just her parents forcing her to do the same thing. Yeah, you're but right. You're like the hero for dating a white girl instead.
Right.
And she's just like a cog in the machine of your own oppression.
Movie was like mostly cute, except for that box of pictures. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Of women. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
Totally.
But it really, actually, that is kind of how it, I mean, the introductions. I mean, a lot of the girls were awesome. But what if he were single? Like, would that, would he have, like, given her a chance? I don't know. I guess if, that's a totally different movie.
Well,
like, if you're not dating someone.
He hadn't met the white girl yet.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he was against it because of the mechanism through which they were going. Meeting,
What about?
Which, I just feel like.
I feel like that would, my mom, I don't think would ever do that.
Or like try to, she's never tried to set you up.
No. And like not, she was married and now she's not. And she's very like anti-marriage.
So you don't have the pressure. She's not like pressuring you to get.
I guess I see where the person's coming from of being like, you know, why are you coming through like my parents?
Yeah.
But maybe it is a good person.
Yeah.
But I do also kind of believe in fate. Like if you are completely satisfied in you, then mm-hmm. you kind of just attract people that.
I agree. You're going to attract different people if you're in a better space.
Yeah.
And if
right.
you like for accept sure. yourself. I think, when you're in chaos, you're going to mm-hmm. attract chaos or it's something that probably isn't like great for you. Mm-hmm. But I think my biggest thing with that would be like with meeting someone through my parents is like the stakes are higher.
Yeah.
It's not even true. Like they might be an amazing person, mm-hmm. but from the get-go, your entire family and their entire family is in on it.
It's like watching.
And waiting, watching. Like, so what's going to happen? And that's just for me.
It's a lot of pressure.
Pressure to start off a relationship. How can you go on a date and then everyone, you got 20 people like, so?
Yeah. As soon as you come home, they're like, hey, how did it go?
But if that's not an issue, which I don't know how, that's my only thing. I don't think that everybody that would come through your parents necessarily like not a suitable person.
Right, right.
If anything, it shows that they're serious about getting married and that they're legit. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing that.
I kind of am turned off by people, though, that their goal is to get married.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you should go through life with that being a thing that you want to accomplish.
Yeah. I mean, how many guys do we know, like, family or extended family, go down to, like, back overseas and come back with a wife a week later?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, a week later?
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally like, I'm looking, find me a wife. And then their mom, like, finds them a suitable woman. And that's just how we
are. Yeah. I just don't subscribe to the idea that, especially a man, can just wake up one day and be like, you know what?
Now.
I'm ready for a commitment.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's fine. So that part I don't care for, but
it's like,
that's intense. A week later?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I know someone who in a week got married and impregnated his wife.
Wow. Okay.
Only from the timing that as soon as she came to the U.S., as soon as he got her, she was already pregnant. She had been pregnant the same number of months they just like met. So they must have.
Yeah.
On the wedding night or something. Yeah, I'm like, that's crazy. Like,
that's why.
You found someone, got married, knocked them up all in a week.
Because that's what makes me feel like you're not looking for that person.
No,
you're just looking for those things.
Totally. Right. Yeah. And that happens a lot.
Yeah, of course.
I think it does.
Yeah.
I agree with the, like, you know, maybe don't make marriage a goal. If it happens, it happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's, you know, if you want to do it, then do it, definitely. Yeah. But, like, don't put that like expectation on yourself or you know a potential partner that you don't even know yet.
That's true.
Totally.
And it's fun being single too, so it's fun to enjoy that while you can. And approaching 30s, I know, while in our culture that seems like super old, it's not.
It's not even just in our culture. It's like it's weird because it's on TV all the time.
Yeah.
Like Sex in the City and Friends, they're like, oh, I'm going to be 30 and I'm not married. And I'm like, all of my friends are like deep into their 30s and not even close to being married. And I never am like, oh, you're old or you're like past dating age. Like, it's just so wild.
I know.
That on TV, 30, which is like a baby age,
right,
is like considered too old.
I know. What would you do, Korsha, if you met someone who didn't like food?
Oh, my goodness. I've actually stopped seeing people over food things.
Really?
Yes.
Like what?
Oh, yeah. I stopped seeing – I hope he's not listening. I stopped seeing this guy because he didn't eat seafood.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
Wait, at what point did you stop? Like, how long had you been seeing him?
A couple weeks. It wasn't like a long-term thing.
You usually find that stuff out pretty quick, I would imagine, if you're going out to eat.
Can you imagine, like, 5 years later? It's just not working.
Living together. Like,
was he allergic or just didn't like it?
He just didn't like it and was not willing to even try it.
Yeah.
Which was a real big thing for me. Because, like, I love to try different things. Seafood is a big part of my life. Like, I love seafood.
I love seafood.
So just the fact that he was like, I won't even touch it, was like, this isn't.
Did he have a reasoning for it?
No. Like, he just left it at that. He was just like,
I hate that too. Like, when people just
try it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just try. I used to, when I was like a kid, I hated mushrooms. And then I started learning about mushrooms. And now mushrooms are like my favorite thing.
Really?
Like, I'm obsessed with not just eating mushrooms, but like the biology of mushrooms.
Do you like truffles?
Truffles are not my favorite mushroom because I think they're very overpowering.
But true.
I love truffle. Really? Oil, truffle, anything. Same. Like truffle cheese, truffle. Yeah, I'm like obsessed.
Well, there's this one type of mushroom. I haven't been able to try it yet, but it's like my dream to try it. Because it can't be grown. It can only be foraged. I guess a lot like truffles. It's called a lion's mane mushroom. And it's supposed to be the lobster of the woods. Like, it's supposed to have a very light seafood flavor.
Interesting. Yes. I do like mushrooms. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there's any food that I totally wouldn't try. Like, if someone...
Exactly. But it's like, that's a great like tale of success.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I like kept trying them, and now I'm like obsessed.
I think I forgot in school we learned, and it takes like 11 to 18 times to be exposed to food before you can. And I think it's more for like young kids.
Yeah.
They do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Before they can really decide like if it's good or not. So I think if you've never gone through the exposure phase, then how do you know if you really like it or not?
True.
Yeah. Like, there are things that are an acquired taste, like that exists for a reason.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So that's funny. What other?
Oh, the other thing was this chef that I was seeing. He wasn't a chef. He was a chef in training. He was like a line cook.
Okay.
And I went over to his house for dinner, and this was after a couple of dates, and he made me this like chicken dish, but the chicken was really dry. Like, it wasn't good.
I almost fell back out of my seat, literally.
So I like
stopped. What if he was having an off night?
Well, here's the thing: is that he was like, "Oh yeah, this is like my go-to meal. Like, I can whip this up in like 30 minutes."
And he didn't go, "Oh my god, I'm sorry, it's dry." Like, he didn't notice.
No, different. But you know what it was? It was the fact that he was like, "Oh, I just threw this together. This is like my go-to." Like,
oh, you're like, I'm more special than that.
Yeah, it was like, you. This is a date, and you didn't even try. Like,
see,
to
I had,
and you didn't
me.
Even do well with your go-to.
Right?
Yeah,
I had someone who I knew was like their go-to, but they were totally like, that was like their date night meal. He like literally made me a lobster. Like,
ooh.
He like threw it in the pot and I ran away because it was like screeching. Right. And I was like, no. And but then I went back and ate it.
And then it tasted here, good.
I was like, you got a live lobster. At least he put in the effort. We could totally
that's some
tell,
effort.
Like,
yes.
That's an effort. But you can totally tell that's
and
the person's like.
It's kind of smart because lobster is like.
They're
not,
easy to make.
Yeah, they're easy to make. Mm-hmm. So like. It's just, really impressive and looks really amazing besides, like, the screams of death.
I know. Oh, I literally had to go to the next room because I'm like, I can't hear this.
Yes.
I know.
But, oh, yeah. I think in the beginning, Nasir and I, there were a lot of foods that, like, we didn't agree on. And now I made him try it. Because
like, what?
Okay, so it's really weird. But he doesn't like pasta things or noodle-y things. And those
and
are, like, my favorite. I know. And I love noodles.
Really?
I love ramen. And then I took him to Ivan Ramen. And he was like, this is really good. And I was like, yeah, why are, like, I've been eating noodles since I was, like, born.
Yeah.
Like, I still, like,
I feel like pasta is one of those dishes that every little kid likes,
right,
too. Every person
like
likes it.
It makes no sense to me. And he doesn't like grape leaves, which
that's
I've
weird.
Never met anyone who
that's
doesn't like grape leaves,
weird.
Especially in Arab. Do you like
grape
leaves?
I love grape
leaves. Yeah.
Like,
wait
do.
A minute. Get out.
This You're like, all right,
is
this
over.
Is done.
Flip
that's
the table.
Insane. Has he tried, like, making his own and, like...
I don't know what... He doesn't like anything stuffed. Like, stuffed squash, stuffed...
What?
You know how, like, we make a lot of stuffed dishes? Like,
that's
a lot
everything.
Of our dishes. Yeah. Stuffed eggplant. I'm, like, exposing him now.
What?
I
anything
when he
stuff?
Was a kid,
wild.
He that's... told me his mom would, like, make him eat so much squash and stuff that he was just like, I can't eat this anymore.
Yeah.
I think that may have been the case. I don't know. The grape leaves, people don't make that on a daily basis. That's, like, a special thing because it takes forever to make that. But I thought that was absurd. The ramen, where we're now, he's like,
he's coming around.
He's coming around. We've gone to a few Italian restaurants. Like, I think he just hasn't had good pasta, good ramen. Mm. And then if you're just like, having like,
that's out of just the crazy to me, because he's such the type that would like experiment and then also try to make stuff. And like, I feel like he could totally make pasta from scratch and he would love it.
I feel like, I think in the beginning he wasn't as big on like food and stuff the way he is now and experimenting, so maybe
you gotta
he's
work
coming
on
around. I know. You gotta work on that. Did you like sneak out of that guy's window or like
no
or
I
what happened?
This is terrible. But
it's very funny.
I told him that my roommate was locked out of the apartment and so I had to leave.
Oh my god,
that's until amazing. I left.
I can't.
You're literally
that is
my
so
hero.
Funny. That is like so.
And that was it. I never saw him again.
Oh my god. And he didn't ask, like he didn't text you?
No.
He's like, he knew. He.
It's like, of all the reasons a person can get ghosted, that is not one that would ever occur to them. Like,
chicken.
He's like, was my breath bad? Like, did she not like my apartment? Like, did we have bad conversation? Oh, no, your chicken was dry.
Yeah. Sorry. The dish you made me was dry.
And how long had you seen him?
It was like...
it's like we were engaged.
Right. I left the ring on the table as I left. No, it's been like a month or so.
Oh my god, that's a significant amount of time.
I mean, he was sweet, but like, I don't know.
You're like, it's not going to work.
No. I respect that you know what you want, though. Like,
I mean,
honestly,
juicy chicken.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I'm asking for.
I had like the best chicken ever yesterday.
Where?
It was at this restaurant. I don't remember the name of it. Like, somewhere in Greenpoint. It was like a French restaurant, maybe?
Oh, my goodness. Is it Chez Matin?
No, because we tried to go there, and there was, like, a crazy long wait, but it was near there.
Okay, I'm going there tonight, so I'll let
really?
You know how it is.
Yes, we have to find out how the chicken is there, if you have it. Mm-hmm. But the
Are
chicken
you going
at
on a
this
date?
Place was so
Oh, I'm going with my husband, yeah.
Oh, Mary! I didn't want to be married! That should
oh,
come
so
up.
All of this is
holy
fine.
Shit! Oh, okay, okay. So that's good that you left the chicken guy.
Yes, yeah, it worked out.
You had to leave those men behind,
so I could find.
You were married.
Yes,
does your husband like the same foods that you like?
Yes, he's very adventurous eater.
God. Oh, good.
He also
thank
he works
God.
In wine, so it's
oh
that's
amazing.
A great combo.
That's so cool. Food and wine.
This is oh,
you
this
guys
is
should
great.
Start a magazine.
As all the ones are folding.
There's no such thing. Yeah, there's no food. No. That's really cool.
Yeah.
We do have one more segment
that
we have to...
this is called Keeping Up with the Caucasians.
Okay.
So this is a segment where we talk about things that white people do or eat. There's like a food part. And
whether we do them.
Yeah, too. Whether we do them as people of color. So there's different categories that you get to choose from since you are our guest of honor. And my internet is being slow. Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. Here we go. So we've got food/beverage, pop culture, TV, activities, style/clothes, phrases or sayings, miscellaneous.
Oh, well, let's do food and beverage.
All right, on brand. Okay, let's do, oh my God.
Is there a controversial one on there?
I don't know if it's controversial.
I mean, ever since I learned that you once drank a cup of nacho cheese, like my world has just been turned
I respect that.
Down. It was a diet thing.
Okay, yeah. I was on the keto diet or like something.
And that's all you could have?
Well,
at the movie theater.
At the movie theater, you couldn't have any carbs and I wanted the nachos, but so I got the nachos without the nachos. Just the cheese.
What did the person behind the counter say?
I mean, I don't know. I think they thought it was like really weird. I was like, no, I'll just have the cheese. So don't give me just the cup of cheese. Just
did you drink it like a cup or
the
straw? Yeah, delicious.
For
I drank
straw.
It.
I can't.
It was delicious. I'm sorry.
It probably was
to
very
find
good.
Out this way.
Yeah.
I think about that all the time, Athea. Like truly
really?
It haunts my thoughts.
That's
yes.
funny. Okay, I've got one. What do you think of like I've had this before or seen it? Jello molds and Jello salads. Like they put Jello.
Not good.
Have you
right?
had it?
Mm-hmm. I've never.
I don't
well,
think, I'm trying to think. I've had a Jell-O mold, like someone's Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
or something.
I feel
like that's a big.
Somebody, I remember learning that they call those salads, like Jell-O salad. So somebody said the word salad, and I was like, sure, I'll have some. And then I like they pulled it out, and I was like,
what the hell is
like,
that?
What is it? How do I do
right.
it?
Yeah.
And there's also this other thing along those same lines, which I don't know if you've tried called. It's like ambrosia salad or something.
What's that?
I've seen it. I. don't try it.
It's no. like marshmallow, maraschino cherries.
Mm-hmm. Like canned fruit that in there sometimes.
It mixed with something creamy. Cool Whip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know my mom makes something like that?
Yeah. I think it might be a southern thing.
My
yeah.
mom does make, she doesn't put marshmallows, but I think it's just fruit salad, but she adds those cherries and whipped cream and stuff. I used to like it. She had sour cream.
Well, I'm.
Okay. That's different.
Like, that's a fruit salad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, but anyway.
That should be on there too. Jello, but Jello. I've had it, or Jello salads, I guess.
I'm sure I've tasted it. I don't know. When I think about where Jell-O comes from, like, yeah. Also, my dad, our whole childhood was you can't have Jell-O.
Because gelatin is made of pork.
Right.
I don't know.
It sounds about right.
I don't know if it's specifically always pork.
It's not, yeah.
But it's still because of it's made from the hooves or something. Like, there's some weird thing that makes it, like, always... Same with Starburst. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
And marshmallows. We couldn't have marshmallows. You'd have to find, like, halal marshmallows.
Recently, we were at the grocery store together, and he pointed to some marshmallows, and he was like, I used to love these until I found out they weren't halal.
I saw this meme. I guess our Muslim listeners will find it funny. It's like, it was something like that. That Muslim guy that always has to ruin a food for all of us by pointing out that it's like pork. It's like, we didn't know. You didn't have to tell us. But it was funny.
Yeah. But no, Jell-O is weird. Have you guys seen, going back to Instagram food, that Jell-O art where they inject color into...
I got the coolest account. She follows a bunch of stuff. I try like to stay off Instagram, but maybe because I'm looking at other people, I really need to see that. I need to look at more interesting
Jell-O things.
Art.
Yeah,
yes. Jell-O art. It's so wild.
Is it kind of like sand art, but in Jell-O?
No, it's like incredibly beautiful.
Oh my God. Yeah. You should look this up.
Yeah.
Jell-O art. That's really cool.
It's like Vietnamese.
I don't even know how they do that.
But it looks like 3D. Like, look at this.
It looks like they put something in the mold, but they didn't.
So they use these like syringes that are shaped like leaves, basically.
Oh my God.
Here's a picture of them.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, wow.
It's really...
Who figured this out the first time?
Always Asian people. Because they're so good with
and the desserts look so cool all the time.
They always look cool. Yeah. Because they put so much more detail into it than the rest of us, like, please.
Step up your game, white people, with your Jell-O molds. Your like, Jell-O mold is not doing it.
Oh, what part of Alabama did you grow up in?
Birmingham.
Okay, so I went to Birmingham for the first time last month.
Really? Mm-hmm. For what?
For the Southern Foodways Alliance conference.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Birmingham is interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Did you have good food there?
I had good barbecue.
There's good food. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a good wings place there. Have you ever been to it? I don't know what it's called.
I haven't been to a wings place there. Like,
My brother takes me all the time.
Let me know next time. Yeah. Thank you. This was really fun, and I love hearing your stories.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, check out Korsha's podcast, A Hungry Society.
Yes.
It's on Heritage Radio Network.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Once a week.
Where can we follow you?
I'm Korsha Wilson on Twitter and on Instagram.
Awesome.
And you know it's me because you'll see a little Muppet avatar with dreadlocks. And that's me.
Sweet. And follow us at No Fly List Pod. When you mentioned Alabama, I just went, No Fly List Pod. I can't suppress it any longer, guys. I'm tired.
Yeah.
And send us in your 50 Shades of Brown questions and any keeping up with the Caucasian moments.
Yep.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.